Hi, I'm Femi Oke. Today on the stream, we look into the new kids on the blockchain, NFTs. These unique digital assets can be traded as art. So could non-fungible tokens traded as art be the future of the art world? That is what we're going to dig into a little bit deeper. We start our conversation with Kate Owen.
Last month in May alone, there was over $2.5 billion in total volume traded just on the Ethereum blockchain for NFTs. And out of that, the vast majority of those sales were for profile picture style NFTs like the Bored Ape Yacht Club or CryptoPunks. These profile picture style images have really become art for the internet generation, for millennials and Gen Z who really grew up online. Now, in addition to that, a lot of people are also interested in getting into these NFTs because they feel like they're buying into a subculture that resonates with them. There's this whole conversation of a degen culture, and that's similar to video game culture. And there's also this sense of buying into an exclusive membership community. So certain NFT collections offer certain exclusive benefits. And then lastly, for some of the most expensive collections, the rich and famous are buying into these collections as purely digital status symbols.
Ooh, so much to talk about. The future of the NFT market and its impact on the art world. If you're on YouTube right now, you can be part of our conversation. Put your comments, your thoughts right here and be part of today's show. Let us meet our panel of experts. Osinachi, Tony, Ben, really good to see you. I'm going to get you to introduce yourself to our stream audience. Osinachi, welcome. Please say hello to our audience around the world.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I'm Osinachi. I'm in Lagos, Nigeria, crypto artist.
Good to have you. Tony, nice to see you. Please introduce yourself to our audience around the world. Tell them who you are and what you do.
Awesome. Thank you. Thank you for having me. My name is Tony Payne, and I am a still life photographer and the host of the NFT Talk Show podcast. So I'm very glad to be here.
Oh, good to have you. And hello, Ben. Welcome to the stream. Say hello to our viewers around the world. Tell them who you are and what you do.
Hello there. My name is Ben Davis, and I'm an art critic, the national art critic for ArtNet News, and I'm based in New York.
All right. So, guess. Every question is for all of you, but I know you're going to come from different perspectives. Tony, let me start with the idea of NFT art. You are an artist who uses NFT art. You trade with it. People buy your NFT art. What does that mean? How is it different from a more traditional approach of selling photographs, for instance?
Yeah, so a great question. For me personally, I think, you know, we have to move at times. And NFTs are non-fungible tokens. It's a way of recording something on the blockchain, right, and giving provenance to something. And I see it as just a different medium of selling art. I'm a digital artist. I do photography. I do still life photography. And it's no different from if I were to print my photos onto a metal print or print it on paper or print it on canvas. What NFT does is it gives this particular photo, you can sell it to someone as an NFT, yeah. Same way you would walk into a gallery and pick up a piece. And then you can easily upload this piece into a digital screen or just keep it in your NFT wallet, right? So it's just a different way of trading art. I think, again, there are going to be technology that will come and go, yeah. But NFTs are here to stay, in my opinion.
All right. Ben, is your mind blown? You've got used to this idea, but when was the first time somebody said NFT art to you? And what was your genuine, unfiltered reaction? Go.
My unfiltered reaction is that much money for a JPEG? I mean, I was really blown away. I think I first really started paying attention to this, like a lot of people, last year. When $69 million was paid at Christie's Auction House for a JPEG by an artist in the United States named Beeple. Yeah. And I think that made him the third biggest artist of all time, the third biggest living artist. And it's very hard not to pay attention to that. I mean, and
the money, got your attention.
Gold rush. It's been this gold rush. And I think that, that's brought a lot of people into the space, and I've just never seen anything like the kind of conversation it's touched off, for good and for bad.
Ostinacci, I'm just looking on my laptop of a picture from your website of you working. Would you explain how you work? And then also, when people say NFT art is a JPEG, can you tell them why they're mistaken?
I create my art digitally, and I use Microsoft Word to do that. And of course, by using Microsoft Word, it's digital, it's born digital. And I have tried to look for opportunities in the traditional art space to see the, if art galleries could, of course, take on my work or put my work out there. But that never happened. The only thing that I got that was close to a representation in the traditional art space was a marketplace, not a gallery, taking on my work, where I made limited edition prints, to sell to collectors who wanted to buy. But then NFTs came and changed that altogether.
How were you more successful digitally than if somebody could physically take some of your beautiful art and put it on their wall? How is this version of your art more successful than in real life art?
I think that as a digital artist, the NFT space is like the perfect place for me to fly, to do my thing.
Yeah.
In terms of producing my art physically, there are questions around provenance. There are questions about proof of ownership. There are other questions that arise. And for most people, this makes the artwork that has been produced less valuable, right? And that is what the blockchain brought about, that change, that sort of revolution where, as a digital artist, I can put my work on the blockchain and people will get to collect it. These very NFTs are more valuable than the physical prints because, of course, there's provenance, right? There's proof of ownership. Every other detail that you need is there encoded in the blockchain regarding the artwork.
Ben, that's putting a lot of faith into the digital world. Art is often criticized anyway for being far too expensive. Expensive art is too expensive. But this way of trading and moving around art, do you see that it's a better way?
A better way of
I'm going to go okay. Ben, then Tony, and then come back to Ostinacci. Ben, you go first.
My brain's already running with so much.
Ben, you start first.
It's better for some things. I think that it's worse for some things. And I wish people talked a little bit more about some of the drawbacks. I mean, one thing I'd say about Ostinacci is that he's unique. You know, I think we should talk about how common that experience is, because we're talking about, is it the future of art? And sometimes people talk about the success stories, but they don't talk about, they act like it solved all the problems with the art market. Yeah. When if you look at the actual statistics, the digital blockchain-based art market is actually more unequal than the traditional art market. A smaller number of collectors throw around more weight, and a smaller number of artists are successful relative to all of them. So I think it's important to keep that in the picture, because sometimes, particularly in a gold rush, we only talk about the success stories, but people are upending their lives, investing their college education funds in digital artworks because they think they've got some kind of golden ticket. And actually, right now, we're in the middle of a little bit of a pullback. I'd be really interested to know from the two of you who are artists who follow this, you know, there's been a big crypto crash, how that's affected the digital art space, the new blockchain-based art space from your point of view.
Tony?
Okay, so here's what a lot of people fail to understand. We have to start to look at NFT as the technology that allows you to do certain things. And one of the certain things that the technology allows you to do is offer art, right? Like crypto art. And I want to go back to what Ostinacci just said. Before NFTs, it was probably hard for him to get into galleries or even get his work noticed. There are a lot of stories like that in the NFT space. I hear it daily. NFTs have given artists that ordinarily would not have a voice. I've heard of artists that have had doors shut in their faces, galleries literally shut a door in somebody's face, and this person is like literally growing a base of collectors. And without NFTs, this probably would not have been a thing, right? So we have to look at the technology, and we have to look at the fact that these NFTs can be used for art. But again, when we look into the NFT space, they're also being used for other things. They're being used for things like membership. they're being used for things like culture, like you said, like the Bored Ape Yacht Club is more of a culture. I don't look at Bored Ape Yacht Club as art per se. I look at it as a culture, as a membership to a community, right? And, you know, this is what the technology is. This is what NFTs are doing. So we cannot blur the lines, right? When we look at NFTs, we need to learn to separate these lines. That it's a technology that is being used for different things. And one of those things is art.
All right. So I am going to bring in an artist here. I love what this artist says. His name is Takashi Murakami. He is a very well-known Japanese artist. He works through traditional art methods and platforms. And then he also has some NFT digital art. Have a listen to him, how he explains what is going on and how come it's so expensive. Here he is.
Originally, this stuff is in a very small JPEG. So, but right now, you know, when you watching to the OpenSea, the market, you find out to the how much the value is. Maybe like lowest price is 4.1 Ethereum, something like that. That mean like over how much is that? Maybe over $10,000. So very expensive. So, but can imagine to the contemporary art painting is looks like that price, but why NFT JPEG data is very expensive, very, you know, mysterious.
It makes me laugh because he has no idea why people are paying so much money for his NFT art. On YouTube, I've got some really interesting comments for you. I'm going to throw them out to you very quickly. Asanachi, Cole Howard says, it seems like NFTs are making art more accessible to everyone and at the same time allowing artists to reach more people with their art. Asanachi, that's exactly what you said.
Yes, that's correct. Take, for example, as a child growing up in Aba, which is in Southeast Nigeria, I never for once entered an art gallery, right? And I was first introduced to the computer by my father, introduced to the internet, before I was able to go to an art gallery to see a show at the university. So you see that if we had NFTs then, it would, of course, expose me to art as we know it, even before I would have the opportunity or the privilege to enter into a physical art space. So someone can collect an NFT, but everybody can see it. So it brings about a sort of democratization in the way that people enjoy art, as opposed to what is obtainable in the traditional art space, where someone can collect a Picasso and lock it up in a vault, and other people can't get to see it.
I'm going to go back to YouTube because there's some really interesting... Yeah, you go first, Ben. Go ahead.
No, I just wanted to say, I mean, I hear that a lot, this idea that it's opening it up. But then Tony just said that it's actually all about exclusive clubs. You know, that's
not the Bored Ape Yacht Club
is about creating like an exclusive social club.
What I'm saying is
that you can't get into without a token.
What I'm saying is this. The technology itself, the NFT technology, which is a non-fungible token, can be used for different things. I have an NFT that allows me to get into sporting events. So we have to understand that this technology can be used for different things. It's like saying, okay, I have a car, but I can only drive to somewhere, you know, within Los Angeles. No, I can go different places with this car. So we have to start looking at NFTs as this tool, this technology that allows you to do different things. We're going to have a situation in the near future where if you want to go to a concert, you might need to prove that you have the NFT as a ticket to enter that concert.
Yeah, and I agree with that. So that's the opposite of what Osanachi was saying, though, which is about that it's
well,
about
no, but he's coming from the perspective.
Ben, Tony, let Osanachi tell us the perspective he's coming from.
Sorry.
When we look at NFTs, while we're looking at it holistically, we also have to look at it in terms of the various categories of NFTs that there are. There are collectibles. There are the ones that people prefer to refer to as crypto art, right? Which is what I believe that I make. So you can look at my artwork, and if I didn't tell you that it was made digitally, you'd think it's traditionally made. And for someone coming from a traditional art space, my art style would, of course, appeal to you, as opposed to looking at a Bored Ape, which is, in fact, a collectible, a digital collectible. So collectibles, crypto art, they could have some utility attached to them, like... she just mentioned. So you could enter the metaverse, which is the digital world, and mm-hmm. you are supposed to enter a certain venue, and you'd require an NFT for that.
So, Osinachi, before we delve into the metaverse, which doesn't exist quite yet, but maybe will do in the future, some thoughts here. Unique View says, I would miss the texture, the colours of a real piece of art. So are we looking at these digital assets as, this is something that we're really saving, like, I don't go and look at my shares and study them. And like, oh, I see them. You've put them away. Is it not art that's meant to be enjoyed?
It is art that is meant to be enjoyed.
Ben's doing this, so I don't know if I'm supposed to be enjoying it or not. Because I'm not going to go check out my wallet and go, ooh, that looks lovely, Osinachi, lovely piece of art there, my digital wallet. That's never going to happen. Ben, thoughts?
Well, I think what Tony says is right. That this is a technology that can be used for a lot of different things. So you could sell a painting with an NFT, and people are doing that.
Yeah.
I think Philips Auction House is offering a Bugatti car, and you get an NFT with it. I mean, I don't think you have to think
about
it.
What's more valuable, the car or the NFT?
time will tell, right?
Yeah.
I think that, and then the other thing, I think people have incredible relationships with digital art, you know, the amount of time people spend in video games and stuff.
Yeah.
So I think you might miss the texture of the painting, but you might get back something else.
All right, so let me move on just a little bit because we've got so many questions for you and I want to get in as many as possible. But I'm going to go via Danusha Mendes, who is a professor of intellectual property and innovation law, and her predictions for where this digital art trend is going to take us. Here she is.
In a world where copying is relatively easy, it can be quite difficult to find the true and authentic version of a work. However, if you tokenize your artwork as an NFT, you will receive a digital certificate of ownership representing the purchase of the digital asset, and most importantly, it will be traceable on the blockchain, which is there for everyone to see. It has the potential to do away with fake art. In terms of the future of NFTs, I believe it is here to stay. It will go through the hype cycle, but it will settle down. And with the emergence of the metaverse, it will surely expand and it will grow.
Yes, I'm seeing comments on YouTube about scamming and hacking. So this is Ox. The NFT space is definitely plagued by scams and hackers, just like any other industry. I think education and staying true to interacting with artists you love is the key there. Scamming and hacking. Osinachi, have you been scammed yet? Have you been hacked? Because it's possible to buy an NFT piece of art and for you to put it in your wallet and someone else takes it. That's possible.
Yes, in the past, we've seen cases where people's wallets have been hacked. Someone collected my artwork, I think 2-3 years ago, and just a few weeks back, in fact, that artwork was stolen from their wallet and resold in the market. So it happens. It's much like what also happens in the traditional art space where thieves, of course, steal
artworks.
Paintings
are also stolen in the art world too. Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. So, but it comes with, like the commenter mentioned, you have to educate yourself as a collector. You have to take some precautions. A lot of people collect their NFTs now, and they have a certain wallet which they call a vault. And they, of course, protect these wallets with their hard tokens. So these are measures that people are taking.
And I was just looking here at this New York Times headline of thefts and frauds and lawsuits at the world's biggest NFT marketplace. I'm just going to go to that marketplace now because I believe Tony is on it. It's a little bit like eBay for NFTs. This is Tony's OpenSea site here. Has anyone tried to steal your art or stolen it from somebody that you sold it to? Has that happened to you yet? Tony, have you been hacked or scammed?
I have not been hacked or scammed, but fortunately for me, I do educate as well. So a lot of my collectors, because I do have a podcast where I educate about NFTs, mm-hmm. one of the topics that I cover a lot is being careful not to get scammed. So fortunately for me, none of my collectors or me personally have been scammed. It can happen. No one's perfect. It could just take one single click of a link. But I'm also very careful. I don't click siblings from my mother, my own mother anymore. You know, I have never, I mean, even before NFTs, I've always been careful because we used to get those phishing emails where they'll tell you, log into your bank account, something happened. So I knew from then not to, but yeah, so I've never been scammed. But another thing I wanted to mention, you said earlier about looking at NFTs in your wallet. So here's the thing with NFTs. We have digital screens where you can display your NFTs, right? Mm. I have collectors of my NFTs that display their NFTs in their homes like you would do an art piece, like a regular art piece. So I mean, that's happening. So yeah, I don't think it just gets stuck in your wallet. Yeah. I just wanted to kind of put that out there. Okay. But
that makes sense.
No to getting scammed.
Yeah, that makes sense. Let me just share here. This is Jean-Philippe, who we spoke to just a little bit earlier. And he was really that warning voice about the problems that can happen when you buy NFT art or when you're trying to sell NFT art. Here's Jean-Philippe.
In the traditional art market, intermediaries like galleries and auction houses will vet the creators on behalf of the buyer and then will provide buyers with guarantees. You don't have these guarantees in an NFT market, so that's a first risk. A second risk is how to store the file that you are actually buying. When you buy an NFT, you get a transaction receipt that's pointing to a file, but you need to know how to store that file securely in a decentralized cloud, otherwise it could be stolen or replaced. If you do not want to do all this research yourself, you can always buy NFTs from reputable intermediaries that are getting into the space.
So part of the appeal I know for artists is that they don't have to go through the traditional route of getting their art sold. And then when that art gets sold on, they get money for that as well, which you normally don't get. So, Ben, is this going to put people who have traditional roles in the art world out of business? Can NFT art do that? Can we see a revolution in the art world? Is that possible?
Well, it's possible. I mean, and I think, you know, you see on this call, it's changed a lot of people's lives. What I worry about is that there's this rhetoric that, we're getting rid of the middleman and we don't need anything. And you see on the clip that you just played, the guy is talking about the role that middlemen play in, like, helping you navigate spaces that are full of scams and so on. Mm. And there's this idea that we can go without experts but that, you know, the bad stuff that people are seeing, the fact that it's rife with scams, that that there's a lot of wash trading, meaning people buying art from themselves to make it seem like the price is going up.
Yes, one of our viewers was asking about that, artists inflating their prices on purpose. All right, let me go back to
there's a lot of that, and that's why the blockchain, people present it like it's a technical solution to the problem of trust. But in the end, the technology doesn't totally solve those problems. And it's acting like it does leaves people open to the grift and scam.
All right. Osanachi, I'm here looking at your crypto art on my laptop. I'm going to ask you an indelicate question. But what is the most anyone has ever paid for your crypto art? Humble brag. Go ahead. I'm asking the Nigerian to humble brag. They're just going to brag. Go for it.
Well, it was around 100,000 for a piece.
Nice.
But then, I like to say, and this is very important, and sincerely also say that it is important for us to pay attention to the art and pay less attention to the money that we're talking about in this space. Yes, people like Ben got interested in the space because of the amount of money they heard being made in the space, but the art is important. I mean, when people talk about NFTs, they think about NFTs. When media houses talk about NFTs, they're just pointing to CryptoPunks like you have on the screen behind you and other collectibles. But there's a whole lot of things that, for example, my style, my kind of art, that appeals to a whole lot more people than maybe CryptoPunks would appeal to them. And I'd like to make a point about the role of middlemen in the NFT space. We're not getting rid of middlemen. I can do my thing in the space without...
You have the last word. Yeah, I'm just saying you have the last word. So you can still do your thing and you're not getting rid of the middleman. I hear you. Osinachi, Tony, yeah. We have had so many viewers who have complimented your artwork. You have fans out there. And Ben as well. Thank you so much for being part of this show. We really appreciate you. Take care, everybody. I will see you next time.